reading, understanding of his holy word, and may God's word be a lamp unto thy feet and a light unto thy path. Change the AV, thank you very much. We're going to shine the sermonic spotlight today on that verse 17 that says, after that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them, those who are sleeping in death but in Christ. We will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Amen. Let me hear you say forever. Forever. We will be with the Lord forever. Now, normally I try to keep my sermonic titles somewhat short so that the AV ministry don't have a lot of typing to do. But today, I'll be honest, it's a little longer than normal. But today, I like to preach and teach with this thought in mind. Don't let your behind get left behind. Don't let your behind get left behind. Amen. Amen. Told this is a serious topic today, y'all. As I have begun to mature in my Christianity and to mature in my spirituality, I have accepted the fact that there are some things in the Bible that are mysteries. They are mysteries not in the sense of will they happen, but they are mysteries in the sense of when will they happen and how will they occur. The second coming of Christ, my brothers and sisters, is one such mystery. The Bible is clear that Jesus Christ is coming back and that he's coming back for a holy church, one that is without spot or wrinkle. Now, that is not because we are so good, but it is because God is so good. Amen. It is clear that Jesus has prepared a place for us, and it is clear that the dead in Christ will rise first. And after that, those who are alive in Christ, not everybody who's alive, but those who are alive in Christ will be caught up in the air to meet them. But once in the air, my brothers and sisters, the mystery is, are we immediately going up to the old heaven or are we immediately coming down to the new earth? Because God chose to be silent on timing and specifics, people have created doctrinal theories based on their interpretation, based on their study, and based on their beliefs. One such theory is about something called the rapture. Now, the rapture is a Latin word that means to seize, to snatch, or to take away. Now, the word rapture is not used in the Bible, yet rapture theories have been created, and rapture theories vary. Rapture theology attempts to interpret the scriptures to figure out what will happen to the church during this prophesied period called the tribulation. Now, while facts about the tribulation are known, what we don't know is whether it will be a pre-tribulation or mid-tribulation rapture, and the scriptures are difficult to glean a point of view. But what is unquestionable, my brothers and sisters, is that when Jesus returns to rule, that when Jesus comes back for his church, when Jesus comes back for his bride, we will meet him up in the air to eternally experience God's presence, while others will be left behind to eternally experience God's wrath. Paul tells this church at Thessalonica that there will be a glorious yet mysterious day when the world as we know it will be ushered out and the world as God desires it will be ushered in. It will be a day that will be glorious for some but will be gruesome for others. A day that has been prophesied but a day that cannot be predicted. That it will come, you can rest assured. But when it will come, no one knows. But what we do know, my brothers and sisters, is we must be ready and we must wait in eager anticipation. Because if you do not, the Bible tells us that your behind might get left behind. Have you ever messed around and got left? Remember what that felt like? No one in their right mind wants to be left behind. There is a stigma in this country against those who cannot keep up. No parent desires for their child to be left behind. No parent desires for all of the other kids to graduate, but little Johnny and little Keisha have to repeat the grade. No one on their job wants to see their peers moving up and getting promoted while you are overlooked and left behind. Yet the Bible is clear without the shadow of a doubt that in the last days, some will be caught up in the air to meet Jesus, while others will be left behind. People who did not love Jesus enough to make him their Lord, did not love him enough to worship him regularly, did not love him enough to serve him obediently. Some who call themselves Christians, but their hearts are far from him. People whom Jesus will say, I know you think you know me, but I never knew you. If the truth be told, and y'all know I got to tell the truth, most of us have experienced being left behind. Maybe you weren't ready and your friends left you behind and went on to the party without you. Perhaps you were on the phone and your coworkers went on to lunch and left your butt behind. My son on Friday gave me a little preaching material, y'all. He said, Dad, I need you to take me to school so I can catch the bus. I've got a track meet today. I said, well, Royce, what time does your bus come? He says, Dad, the bus leaves at 3:15. I said, well, Royce, we got to make sure we're there before 3:15. We got there, y'all, about 3:08. I dropped him off, and I went to leave. Matter of fact, I was going to get some gas. I was at a gas station. My phone rang, y'all, and I thought it might be Royce, but it wasn't Royce. It was Royce's coach, and Royce's coach said, Mr. Robinson, is there a problem with Royce? And I'm like, what do you mean, is there a problem with Royce? I said, I just dropped him off so he can catch the bus. He said, the bus left at 3 o'clock. Royce told me the bus was leaving at 3:15. So he couldn't believe it, but to his surprise, his behind got left behind. Missing a bus, my brothers and sisters, is not the end of the world. But missing out on heaven is. The Bible tells us that regular folk like you and I will be partying, will be marrying, will be dating, they will be eating and drinking on the day that that trumpet sounds. Yet some will rise and some will be left behind. It tells us folk will be working side by side. They will be standing next to one another, seated at the same conference table, waiting on the same elevator, eating in the same cafeteria, riding in the same car. Yet one will be caught up and the other will be left behind. The flight will arrive and folk will board and it will take off, but some will not be on it. But God's word for you today, my brothers and sisters, is simply this. Don't let your behind get left behind. Matter of fact, turn to your neighbor, say, neighbor, you don't have to worry about me. My behind won't be left behind. Yes, give God a hand clap of praise on that. Jesus says that no one knows the day, let alone the hour. And that's why it's easy for me to ignore these false prophets and these false prophecies who claim to know when Jesus is returning. There was a person by the name of Nora Roth, and she was a professed Christian, y'all, and she was a computer program, and through study of biblical prophecy and through complex computer programming, she predicted that the world would end and Jesus would return in the fall of 2016. Well, here we are today, and it's May of 2017, y'all, and we know that Jesus did not return. Now, some folks say that even though she was wrong about the return of Jesus, she was almost right about her prophecy predicting the end of the world in the fall of 2016. And they say that she was almost right about predicting the end of the world in the fall of 2016, y'all, because that's the time when number 45 got elected. I'm just saying what I'm saying, y'all. I'm just saying what I'm saying. But you know, it is important, my brothers and sisters, to know God's word. It is important to heed God's word, and it is also important to obey God's word, to learn from God's word and to learn from the past. It was Jesus himself who said, remember the flood, how Noah preached for folk to repent of their sin and to turn to God. But people were too busy doing their own thing. Some were too busy being fly. Some were too busy getting high. Some were too busy on Tuesday to go to Bible study. Instead, they were talking about club going up. On a Tuesday, got your girl in the cut and she choosing. Yeah, well, that may be the case, y'all, but the matter is that Jesus might just come on a Tuesday. We don't know when he's coming, but instead of worrying about the club going up, they need to be worrying about their soul going up on a Tuesday. During the days of Noah, people had a chance to turn to God. For it took Noah somewhere between 70 and 100 years to build the ark. But eyes were blind, and they never imagined the devastation until the rain came and the water rose and they were destroyed. But then it was too late. Tomorrow, my brothers and sisters, is promised to no one. Yet salvation is available to everyone. Now, when you know you are saved, when you know you are sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost, you don't have to worry about tomorrow. If it comes, you will be glad and rejoice in the flesh. And if it does not come, you will be glad and rejoice in your spirit. For we know that if our earthly tabernacle is dissolved, that we have a building of God, a house not made with hands. And when you know this, you can rejoice in today and not worry or be in a hurry about tomorrow, because you know that your behind won't be left behind. We live in an age, my brothers and sisters, where we are consumed with time. In most of our sports, there is an element of time. In our tests that we take, there is an element of time. Buses and trains, they operate on a time schedule, and some of us have to clock our time on our jobs. We live in an age of technology where you can tell time on watches, you can tell time on clocks, you can tell time on your TVs, you can tell time on your smartphones, your computers, even your Fitbits. But here's the question that I have for you today. Do you really know how much time you have? Do you really know how much time you have? See, tomorrow is not promised. Yet we have plans for next week. We have plans for next month. Some of us have made plans for next year. The problem is there are some folk who think they have more time than they really have. And it's those folk who are going to find that it's their butts and their behinds that get left behind. Now, you might be able to get the CTA. You might be able to get the Amtrak or the Metro train to wait on you. But the train going to glory will wait for no one. Now, it amazes me how folk find time for things. They find time to go to the gym. They find time to go to the club. They find time to go to the mall. And they find time for TVs and games. Yet they find no time for church. And they find no time for God. Now, if they knew how much time they had, I could understand it. But since no man knows the day nor the hour, well, I figure that it's best to serve the Lord while we have the chance. But I know that God knows best, and I believe that God intended that we not know the day nor the hour. Because I figure that if I knew how much time I had, I might not be the person I am today. Oh, let's speak the truth and shame the devil. If I knew how much time I had on a 70-degree day, y'all, in the summer of Chicago, right about now, I'd be on the fourth tee teeing it up and not be in church. Matter of fact, next Tuesday, I might be one of them brothers talking about club going up on a Tuesday. Oh, y'all holier than me. Okay, all right, I got it. I got it. I'm by myself. But since I do not know the day nor the hour, I figure instead of golfing, it's better to be worshiping. Instead of putting, it's better to be praising. Instead of swinging, it's better to be singing. Because if he decides to come today, if he decides to come tomorrow, I want to be ready. See, I'd rather have the Bible in my hand than a golf club or a glass of Grey Goose. Because I know that one day, tomorrow will be that day. And here's what you got to understand. When the plane comes, my brothers and sisters, you can't get on Google to see what time it's coming. You can't get on Google to find out the departure time. No, you can't do that. When the plane comes for glory, y'all, it's coming on short notice. There's going to be the call of the archangel. There's going to be a trumpet blast, my brothers and sisters. And you got to be ready. So my second question for you is simply this. Do you know you have a ticket to get on board? Do you know you have a ticket to get on board? See, you can ask some people if they are saved, and they will hesitate before answering. Why? Because they are unsure of their salvation. I may be unsure of a whole lot of things. I may be unsure if I will be able to pass through this earth without contracting cancer. I may be unsure that in my old age will I have Alzheimer's. I may be unsure of whether my two lovely children will decide to take me into their homes when I'm old or put me in a nursing home. But one thing I am totally sure of is where I'm going when I leave this place. We've got to understand, my brothers and sisters, that you are saved by two components. Now, I don't want to break anybody's theological, so let me make sure that you understand what I'm saying. You are saved by two components. You are saved by grace through faith. Don't miss this. You are saved by grace through faith. See, if it was grace alone that saved you, everybody would go to heaven. If it was grace alone that saved you, Buddhists could get to heaven. Muslims could get to heaven. Atheists could get to heaven. But you are saved by grace through your faith in Jesus the Christ. And that's good news for me, y'all. Because that tells me that my good works didn't get me saved. And that's good news because if my good works didn't get me saved, my repentant bad works can't get me unsaved. I know that my behind is not going to be left behind. See, I refuse to let people's judgment of my life and my faith and my sins to sway me. I'm not interested in their opinions, and I'm not concerned about their gossip. They can say what they want to say because I know my behind won't be left behind. They can talk to whoever they want to talk about, say whatever they want to say. They can talk to the butcher, the baker, the candlestick maker. It really don't bother me because I know they can't vote me in, nor can they vote me out. When you come to the understanding that salvation is not about anything that you have done, but it's everything that Jesus has done, then you will be safe in understanding that you are secure in your salvation. Yes. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, if you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then the Holy Spirit is in you, and the Holy Spirit is your guarantee. I don't know, but if you're sure about your salvation, somebody ought to raise their hand right now. Somebody ought to shout glory, hallelujah right now. Somebody ought to say thank you, Jesus, right now. Because I know that I know that I know when I leave this place, I'm going to be with him. Well, I'm almost done, y'all. I'm almost done, y'all. The first question is, do you really know how much time you have? The second question is, do you know that you have a ticket? Well, finally, I believe, my brothers and sisters, that we need to know who our captain will be. I fly a lot on airplanes, and I like it when the pilots get on and they introduce themselves. They say, oh, this is Captain so-and-so from United Airlines, and I am here to welcome you to the plane. We are flying at 30,000 feet altitude, and I am going to take you safely to your destination. I like when they come on and introduce themselves because I get to know a little bit about them, but I also get to hear and know their voice. Oh, somebody, that went over your head. So what's the third point, Pastor? Well, the third point is simply this. Did you know Jesus will personally bring you home? Jesus will personally bring, that's good news for me, y'all. The Bible says that we will be caught up in the air to meet him. But Jesus will be the one who pilots us home. That's how I know that we are safe in his everlasting arms. No one can pluck us out of his hand. No one can pluck us out of the air. We will be caught up because Jesus has prepared a place for us. He has prepared a new earth. He has prepared a new Jerusalem. And what we must do is simply watch and be ready. We must watch and be ready. How do you watch? Well, you watch by opening your eyes. How do you get ready? You get ready by opening your heart. We don't know when Jesus is coming. He may not come on a Sunday morning. It might be on a blue Monday. It might be on a fat Tuesday. It might be on a wonderful Wednesday. It might be on a terrific Thursday. It might be on a frantic Friday. It might be on a shake it up Saturday. We don't know when Jesus is coming, but you gotta be ready. You got to watch and be ready. You might be in the mall. You might be in the grocery store. You might be in the Walmart. You might be at the car dealer. You might be getting ready for school, getting ready for work, getting ready to feed your family. You might be on your way to the doctor, might be on your way to the game. You might even be on vacation. But wherever you are, you got to make sure you're watching. Wherever you are, you got to make sure you're ready. Wherever you are, you got to make sure that your behind won't be left behind. See, you don't need gas in your car. You don't need money in your pocket. But the Bible says you need a little oil in your lamps. You need Jesus in your heart. And you need heaven on your mind. You need to be ready when Jesus comes. You got to get your life in order. You got to get your life in order. You got to get your life in order. Get your house in order. Get your priorities in order. Jesus is coming like a thief in the night. And when he comes, y'all, the trumpet will sound. And you got to be ready to go. When Jesus comes, he's coming like a thief in the night. In an instant, in the twinkling of an eye, we shall be changed. You won't have time to start reading your Bible. You won't have time to start paying your tithes. You won't have time to start serving in ministries. You won't have time to start getting your life together. You got to be together. You got to be ready when Jesus comes. I don't know about you, but my mind's made up that my behind won't be left behind. My mind's made up. I'm on my way up. I'm holding my head up, cause I'm gonna be with the Lord. I've got heaven on my mind. I've got Jesus on my mind. I've got pearly gates on my mind. I've got streets of gold on my mind. I've got peace on my mind. I've got joy on my mind. I don't know about you, but I'm not gonna let my behind get left behind. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Some people will be left behind. That's why it's important that not only do we get our lives in order, but that we evangelize and we reach out to those who do not know Christ like we know Christ, do not love Jesus like we love Jesus, do not serve Jesus like we serve Jesus. See, there are people who don't mind Jesus being their Savior, but they have a problem with Jesus being their Lord. See, when Jesus is your Lord, then you understand you are a servant. And as a servant, we must do the will of our master. God knows we are not perfect. We are going to make mistakes. But we've got to do our best to be the children of God that he has created us to be. Give God a hand clap of praise.